We present Patrick Moher in The Humane Solution by Steve Gallagher, with Peter Pacey and Malcolm Hayes. The Humane Solution.
Can you see anything?
Don't look very promising.
What do you mean?
Well, I can't see too much because of the fog, but it looks as if we're towing all the planes back into the hangars.
We're tucking them up for the night.
Oh, is there any point in staying on? Might as well go back to the hotel.
No, it's not worth it. Let's see, it's 2 o'clock now, 3 o'clock by the time we get back into Amsterdam. Half an hour to knock at the porter, clean your teeth, wham, bang, and we've missed the 7 o'clock flight, haven't we?
It is a 7 o'clock flight.
Well, the odds are in favour. Now let the sun shine loose and all that mist, and she'll lift her skirts and turn into low cloud.
You get the copy away?
Yeah, safe and sound. Well, I couldn't get a telex line, so I had to dictate it all to the sub over the telephone.
Yeah, I had to get the pictures done locally and wire them over. Fog was already down when they came out of the lab.
And what'd you see now?
2 men hooking up the towing wagon to the last plane on the runway. A couple of Land Rovers driving off into the fog.
Anything else?
Well, if you're so interested, why don't you prise your bum off those 3 chairs?
Yeah, four chairs.
4 chairs, and have a look for yourself.
Well, I like to listen to you. It's your prose style. So bloody awful. I could see why you're a photographer.
I'm only reporting the facts, unlike some.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Forget it.
Come on, kiddo. You're not getting away with that kind of assault on my professional integrity.
You do it to me all the time.
Oh, well, that's different.
In what way?
Well, I only do it to you because you never defend yourself. I'm doing you a favour, if only you knew it.
Oh, thanks.
Look, Peter, you've got to be tougher. You've got to be your own man, and to hell with sensitivity. What do you think it'd be like if you were teamed up with somebody like Mercado?
God forbid.
You know, it could happen sooner than you think.
Hello?
Who's that?
DeWitt.
Oh, the uniform security diver.
You were making fun of earlier.
Well, let's hope he didn't hear me then.
You two gentlemen are Mr. Niven and Mr. Anthony.
No, I'm Peter Anthony. This is Larry Niven. How do you know our names?
Well, he's got our ticket stubs there, hasn't he? I bet we're the only 2 passengers left in the whole airport.
I'm afraid that is so, sir. All the others have gone back to their hotel.
And you'd suggest that we do the same?
There seems little chance of the fog lifting within the next few hours. There is a possibility of restored service at Schiphol Airport. But, of course, that means you will have to return to Amsterdam. There is an airport car at your disposal.
Very generous.
Yeah, but we'll take our chances on the fog lifting here.
I'm afraid the forecasts are not very favourable on that prospect.
Then how can you get flights away at Schiphol?
A matter of technology, sir. Here at Nordfriesland, we don't have access to the more sophisticated tracking and guidance hardware that they have down at Schiphol. We are made in an overspill facility.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Mr. Vivint, we'll stick where we are and get some rest. Look, Mr. Anthony and I have both been working for, ages with a British newspaper. We've hardly slept in the last 3 days.
Is there nothing I can say to persuade you?
Well, you could persuade them to reopen the bar for us. Make the waiting a lot more pleasant, wouldn't it?
If you change your minds, please, just pick up one of the telephones. Good evening, gentlemen.
What was all that about 3 days without sleep?
Very odd.
What?
Well, I've set out fog in airports all round the world and never had treatment like that before. And that business about technology.
What about it?
Well, what he said was true enough. Nordfriesland was built to take overspill, but... Well, I mean, it's only been up 6 years. This place is the last word in airport technology. I can't believe that it's equipped below Schiphol standards.
All right, so he's putting us off. Perhaps it's something else.
Like what?
Union troubles, no stars.
Well, then why not say so?
Publicity. Probably knew we were from a newspaper.
No, I'm not so sure. I think there's something going on.
Oh, there's nothing going on. Have a look for yourself.
What, you mean give up these 4 chairs, risk losing my place?
Guess I've seen about 200 empty chairs in this lounge.
Well, it might fill suddenly. Now, you tell me what's going on.
After your little tirade on my descriptive powers, no chance.
Oh, yes. There's that little matter of the slight against the factual content of my writing. Were you generalising? Or do you really think you can justify it?
It's only an office rumour.
Well? Well, Peter, don't you think I should know about it?
Nothing to know. It's only McCardle.
Well, that does it. If the Gould's been talking about me, I have the right to know. I won't be pulled down by a second-rate man like McArdle.
He didn't consider himself quite so second-rate. Seems to think he's next in line for your assignments when you step down to drive a desk on the fourth floor.
He thinks he'll speed up my leaving. Well, what's he been saying?
It was about 2 months ago, while he was still in hospital after the Ison siege.
Slimy little weed.
No, nobody believed him. Everybody knows what he's lying.
Yeah, but mud always sticks. That's the principle behind everything that grubby little toad ever wrote. Look, tell me!
Oh, all right. When the Ison siege was over and your report was published, he said it was interesting that there was no third-party corroboration.
Well, that's ridiculous. The only other party involved was Gunter Ison himself.
Well, McArdle tried to insinuate that you cooked up a private deal with the police to, you know, suppress part of the story, and that Ison's version was being kept back for political
reasons. Yeah, and what about the bullet in my leg? Did he suggest that I fake that?
No, of course not.
Yeah, but he probably implied that I was making more of it than was strictly necessary, eh?
Something like that.
Yeah, and what would he know? The nearest he's ever been to real action is a seat in the cinema. For 4 days, I lay in that back office in The Hague with a gun at my head while Ison bargained with the police for my life. They never gave an inch. They just waited until he was too tired to hold the rifle steady on me, and then they ran in shooting. They got him twice and me once. I started dictating the story in the ambulance, and it was on the streets in 4 hours. International syndication. Yeah, I bet it's because of McArdle that Jackson's been pressuring me to move to the city desk off international features.
It's only a rumour. Nobody believes it.
Yeah, only a rumour. You've got a lot to learn, Peter.
Hey, just a minute. What's going on?
Like what?
All the runway lights just came on.
The lights on? What do you mean?
Yeah, let's have a look. Hey, just like Christmas, isn't it?
Not so foggy after all, though.
What, misty? I wouldn't call it fog.
Now, strange they should tell us it's getting thicker all the time when it seems to be lifting.
Low cloud cover, perhaps?
Yeah, we don't seem to be going anywhere, though, do we?
Can you hear engines? Very distant.
Excuse me. I say, have you any idea what's going on?
Mr. Devine sent me to open the bar for you, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean outside. The landing lights on the runway have all been switched on.
I couldn't tell you about that, sir. I'm not involved in that sort of thing, sir. If you can't come through here...
Yeah, we'll join you in a minute. I just want to see what's happening out here.
Well, here comes Security Sam now. You can ask him.
Ah, gentlemen, is everything all right for you? The airport manager agreed to your request for refreshment to be made available.
Well, it's the best thing that's happened to us all day. But what's going on outside?
You mean on the runway? Oh, we are taking an emergency landing, that is all.
Oh, is the fog lifting then?
Oh, I regret no. It is quite as thick as ever and shows no signs of lifting before tomorrow.
Here it comes. Can you make out the markings?
Not in this light, not with the fog as well.
Where's it from?
I'm afraid I do not have that information. It is an hour or more since I was in the control tower.
Perfect touchdown, anyway.
If you would care to come into the bar, gentlemen, and order whatever you wish, it will be at North Friesen's expense.
What? Well, that's very generous of you.
Well, we feel it is the least we can do for your inconvenience. Select whatever music you like on the machine over there. If you wish to speak to me, just use the telephone as before. The offer of a car is still available.
Thanks.
What can I get you, sir?
Scotch with ice, please. Peter?
Same.
2 scotches, both with ice.
What do you want for music?
Oh, hang on, I'll come and have a look.
Here you are, sir.
Oh, nice and quick, thank you. Here you are.
There's your headset.
Thanks.
What have they got?
Never heard of most of it.
Press D11.
D11. What's that?
That's the number of a hotel room I once had seen of a little assignation in Hamburg.
Oh, yeah. Before Mrs. Niven?
Yeah, well, now you pin me down. It was Mrs. Niven.
Ha!
6 years ago. But don't spread it around, otherwise you'll ruin my reputation. Cheers.
Cheers.
Surprise, surprise. Luck with me tonight.
Think it'll lift the fog.
Yeah, we could be worse off. That's a tidy little corner, this. Peace, quiet, free drinks. Worse, better than some of the grubby holes I've had to shelter in.
That's not a lot about airports.
Yeah, well, I ought to. Spend enough time hanging around them.
I expect you'll be glad when you can stop.
Yeah, I expect so too, but... No, I don't know. Sally's very keen for me to give up the travelling. And then there is a danger.
Like the arson siege.
Yeah, well, there were a few heated exchanges in the Nevin household after that one, I can tell you. In fact, Peter, only Jackson knows this, but I'm pretty well decided that this one will have to be my last field job.
Sounds true, then.
Now, I hope you're not suggesting that McCarthy...
But the move to the city desk.
Yeah, well, it's a possibility, that's all. Barman, same again, please. Large ones.
I suppose we might as well, since it's free. So then we go back too often.
Now, there's something interesting.
What?
Hang on. Just wait until the barman's out of earshot. Look at the fit of his jacket.
Bit big, perhaps?
Yeah, so big he's had to turn the cuffs over. And, do you notice anything else?
No.
He's carrying a gun. In a shoulder holster. Well, they may have a drunk's problem, but I don't see how it can be that bad. Look at him. He hasn't got a clue what he's doing with those drinks. If I were to a Tom Collins, I'd be floored. By the colour of his trousers and the ironmongery under his arm, I bet he's one of Friend De Vint's security men.
So why does he pretend he's the regular barman?
I don't know, but there's more. Look, besides the free drinks and the offer of a car, totally unprecedented in my career, remember what De Vint said about the technology of this place. All the guidance equipment they don't have. And yet we stand there and watch a large aircraft make a perfect approach and landing in dense fog. And when we ask De Vint where it's from, he says he hasn't seen the airport manager. Well, that's the same airport manager who authorized this bar to be opened up.
I don't think those were his exact...
Well, that doesn't matter. You can't argue with a general conclusion that something is happening.
Well, like what?
Well, I don't know, but something's happening and they don't want us to know about it. I think I'll wander out into the lounge. Have a look, see. Look, you follow me, but bring your drink and keep it looking natural.
Yeah.
Peter, can you bring your camera without him noticing?
No problem. I've got a miniature in the inside pocket. I've got it loaded with fast film.
Mm. Right, Peter, I'll see you in the lounge then.
Barman didn't even see me go. I think it's his feet.
I don't believe it. He's faking.
What do you mean?
There's a big mirror opposite the door in the bar. Now, don't look round. He's facing it.
Is it my imagination, or is the fog...
Hang on.
What's that? There. A couple of police cars.
Heading towards the main runway. Now, watch the headlights, see if you can spot if they pick up anything.
Did you see that?
Now, don't get too excited. The barman might get suspicious.
There's an aircraft at the far end of the runway. I think it's the one we saw landing. Lights all on. But no steps, and no passengers coming through the terminal, and they haven't towed the plane to a bay like all the others. Yeah, now what does that suggest to you?
Yeah. Hijack.
You can wire the office.
Not without details, and not on an airport telephone either. De Vint will have the switchboard listening. They've done their best to hide this from us.
Hardly their best.
I can't understand why. What do they have to fear from the press? The story will be all out by the morning, anyway.
You're going to get a hold of him?
I'd like to talk to the Orbing runner, not the monkey.
What about the airport manager?
That's who I mean.
You think he'd talk to you?
Yep, if only to get rid of me. I'll approach this right, and I should be able to negotiate an on-the-spot exclusive in exchange for a short-term silence.
What if the story breaks somewhere else while we're sitting on it?
Well, then we cancel the deal and go straight in with the story. It's called creative ethics. But first, I want to do some eyewitnessing.
Down on the runway?
Exactly.
Won't be easy.
Yeah, I have to agree. But now's the only time we can do it. We've the defence of not being told not to. And I'm not going to be like McCardle and get everything secondhand.
Mr. Barman, you know if we leave the main lounge.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. When the music ends, go back and select another record and get us a couple of refills. And as soon as you come out of the bar, put the drinks down and head through those doors over there.
Yeah.
Through to the passenger escalators and the luggage bays.
What about you?
Well, I'll be waiting down there for you. The barman would just think that you've moved out of his line of vision. Should give us a few minutes' start. Right, off you go.
Yeah, right. See you downstairs.
Any problems?
Added bonus. Barman was taking his job too literally. He's fast asleep and snoring.
Good. There's nobody on security down here either, so they must all be at the plane.
Fair enough. You know, I think photographs are out, unless they put some lights on.
I want you to come anyway, Peter. Back up anything that's challenged.
Are you thinking of McCardle?
Just covering all the exits. Speaking of which, There's a door for the runway.
You hear that? It's the wind that's shifting the fog.
It's also shifting all the warmth out of Peter Anthony.
Well, just grit your teeth and think of England.
Yes. Yes, I know the local police aren't used to a situation like this, but you're all we've got. Just keep the plane encircled until the special unit arrives. I've no idea how long. What? Look, it's not up to me. If anybody's in charge of the situation, it should be you.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Hulse is on the other line at the moment. Can I help?
Yes.
I'm the chief of airport security.
Well, not really, but...
Yeah, I see. Yes. Will you wait a moment, please?
Very good. Yes.
Josef, can you take this call?
Just a moment. Who is it?
It's the minister, insisting on speaking direct to the airport manager.
I'll be right over. Just keep your cars in a tight circle around the plane and let me know if you see anything happen. I'm now going to talk to the minister. Goodbye.
Yes, he says he's just been dragged out of bed and he wants the full story.
Whose bet, I wonder?
Oh, don't let him hear you.
Hello? Josef Hulse. Good morning, minister. I'm sorry you've had to be called at this hour. You probably know we've got a little problem here. How much do you know so far, sir? Well, it's like this. It's a KLM flight from Stockholm to Amsterdam, and we got the message about 2 hours ago. We've got armed terrorists on board, but so far we don't know what weapons they've got or how they got them on board. They made themselves known about 400 miles out over Copenhagen, but as luck would have it, there's fog there as well. The pilot decided to head back to Schiphol, but we took it upon ourselves to divert them to North Friesland. No, there's a press blanket on the whole affair. Because, Minister, your office told us so. We've got two pressmen in our passenger lounge, but I detailed a man to keep them away from everything. No, they're British. No reason why they should suspect anything. We've not had any message from the aircraft so far, except air traffic control exchanges for the pilot, but they're keeping the frequencies open just in case. No. There's no indication of any demands as yet, but I would appreciate some representation from
Georgia
to handle that side of things.
Oh, damn. Get them up here, will you? At once.
I'm sorry, we can't give you any more information, Minister, but that's all we've got so far. I'm not really used to dealing with this kind of problem, sir.
Then you've got a minute, Josef.
Just wait, Paul. I'm sorry? Of course, Minister. Thank you for your call, sir. Well, there's no help at all, politicians.
You think you've got trouble? Wait till you hear my news.
We are supposed to have some kind of contingency plan for emergencies, aren't we? Instead, we've got that buffoon of a police chief flapping around like a headless chicken and dumping it all on us.
The two British pressmen have been picked up on the main runway.
No. Did they see anything?
What do you think?
They'll have to be kept incommunicado. It's the only way.
I'm afraid we've got problems there.
Don't tell me.
If we don't come clean with them now, we'll have big trouble later. I'd suggest a deal to get their cooperation.
What kind of deal?
Offer them an exclusive, something like that.
How do we know they won't sneak the story out?
If they do, what does it matter?
Ministerial instruction, that's what matters. There seems to be some plan on the go that I'm not party to.
Then we'll just have to make sure they stick to the deal.
What'll you do? Put the wind on them? A great help he's been so far.
Well, he's young. He's never had to deal with anything like this before.
I'll come to that, neither have I. But there'll be no excuses for me if I foul it up now.
All we can do is get them up here and lay the situation out before them. Let them think there's some kind of cover-up and you'll have twice the... No. Paul Steen. Yes? Right. They're downstairs now.
That they haven't brought up.
Right. Will you bring them up here, please? Thank you.
Have we had any word on the special forces yet?
I took the call while you were talking to the chief of police. Apparently we're getting a specialist squad from Germany and a couple of advisors from Britain.
What's wrong with the Dutch all of a sudden?
Nothing, except that 5 hours ago the minister lent them to the Italian government. He wouldn't say why, but it seems they're having some similar problems in Rome.
Connected with ours, you think?
Well, who's to know? Complete blackout, just like here.
Excuse me, manager.
David, would you mind knocking next time you come in?
I'm sorry, manager, but I've got the British pressmen outside. I borrowed a couple of armed policemen to bring them back.
Oh, my God.
De Vint, are you intent on starting your own private international incident on top of everything else we've got here?
Well, you said that under no circumstances...
Never mind all that. Just bring them in. We can argue later.
But I don't see why...
I said later. Can't you give him something to do which will keep him out of sight?
Mm.
This way, please, gentlemen.
Oh, gentlemen, is it now? There's a change in turn. What's been said while you've been away?
Just get inside.
Lay off him, Larry. It's not been his day.
Good morning. I expect you gentlemen concede that we have a few problems here.
Yeah, one or two. But I hope you appreciate that they are a matter of public concern as well. And, you are?
I am Josef Hals, duty airport manager for North Friesland. This is Paul Steen, our head of security.
How do you do?
All right. Now, I'll not play games with you. We have a hijacked aircraft on our runway with 28 passengers on board. One or more of those 28 is either unhinged or a member of some pressure group. We don't know which.
How's the plane being held?
We don't know.
And there's no indication as to who is responsible?
As far as we're concerned, no, but we suspect that the minister knows more than he's passing on. That's why we feel it necessary to comply with his instructions over a press blackout.
Yeah, well, you realize that would be almost impossible to maintain.
Without your cooperation,
no,
yes.
No, I'm not even thinking of that. When morning comes, there'll be 27 sets of relatives who are likely to get curious, won't there? On top of which, how long can you keep the airport closed without an explanation? And in daylight, and without the fog, you'll be able to see the aircraft on the main road. Have you thought of that?
Quite frankly, those are the minister's problems. It's the two of you who are my problem.
If you'll excuse me interrupting, Joseph, I might be able to clarify that. We have some specialist anti-terrorist units due to arrive sometime within the next 2 hours. It's now 3 o'clock, so that will leave little more than an hour before the dawn at the outside.
Then the problems over publicity would presumably disappear.
Yeah, well, forgive me for saying so, but isn't it a rather academic point? I mean, whether the story breaks now or in 4 hours' time will only make a difference of, what, one or two editions by the time it reaches the streets. Perhaps an hour, no more.
Bear in mind, Mr. Niven, that publicity is generally the terrorist's main aim. Hold that publicity back, and you have a useful bargaining point should you need one.
Hold it back? I hope you realize how much you're asking of our professional integrity.
Yeah.
And we hope you will realize that we are avoiding the more official and heavy-handed methods of going about this.
Hmm. Now, the extent of cooperation that you're asking for implies some equal consideration.
Tell me, what did you have in mind, Mr. Niven?
I think you know as well as I do. Exclusive coverage, for one thing. Access to personnel and information. Access for photographs. Due warning of anything major that happens.
You know, it sounds almost like you want us to put you on the staff.
Well, think of it that way, if you like.
Oh. Paul Steen. Yes? Hold the line for a moment, please. For you, Joseph, the minister again.
Tell him I'll be with him.
Hold on a moment,
Minister.
Am I
to take it that you gentlemen are both in agreement on those terms?
Pete? Well, we're a team. That's how we work.
Well, I'll leave the arrangements with you, Paul. Now, if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, I'll have to take this call in private.
I want to get back down to the lounge with my camera bags.
Yeah, I'll walk down with you. Until later, then.
Gentlemen. Oh, Paul, before you go, can you send somebody down to the main lounge to get me some mints from the kiosk?
Mints? This is a strange time to be worrying about your breath.
They're not for my breath, they're for my stomach. I'm running out of those anti-acid tablets.
I'll send the Fint down. The job will just about suit his capabilities.
I can hardly believe it. I mean, talk about being in the right place at the right time.
It's going to be a long night. Well, I think we can forget about the 7 o'clock flight anyway.
What a way to be one up over McCartney.
Yeah. Assuming he doesn't sniff something out and file things up for us.
What do you mean?
Well, from the last I heard, he was in Amsterdam.
Oh.
Let's hope he stays there.
Hey, you're going to ring Jackson and tell him?
Well, we made a deal, haven't we? Oh, besides, can you imagine? With McArdle being so handy, you might ring him up and send him out to join us.
No, thanks.
Anyway, look at the time. If Jackson moans, we can just say that we were being considerate, can't we?
Yeah, yeah. What about Sally?
Hell, there's a point. She won't like it, won't she?
Joking? Just one more assignment, and one as big as this.
Yeah, but you weren't there at the last big row. It was one of those look at us and where are we going affairs. We agreed it would either have to be a complete change or a split, and that's why I'm thinking about that desk on the fourth floor, and she's leaving publishing.
But a chance like this?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm damned if I'm going to pass it up for anything. All the same, I think I'd better phone her. Today was the last day of her notice, so it's a sensitive time. It's a bit of a farewell treat. The firm sent her out to Stockholm for the day to get her contract signed. She'll be all burdened with sacrifice.
What will you do if she objects?
Well, I'm a professional, aren't I?
Yeah. How will you get the call out? I mean, Howe's probably told the switchboard to stop us making any outgoing
calls. I saw some payphones when we came in. If they go straight to a local exchange, I can make a reverse charge there. Look, I'll pop down there while it's all still quiet. You go onto the main lounge and keep an eye open for anything that happens. I'll see you down there.
Right.
The charge is accepted. Connecting you now, caller.
Hello?
Hello, Sally?
Who is this, please?
Oh, is that you, Mrs. Morris? Isn't Sally there?
Oh, Mr. Niven. No, I'm afraid Sally isn't back yet.
Oh, do you know where she is?
Well, she went off to Stockholm this morning. I mean, yesterday morning. She left me the key, and I thought I'd better stay in for you so the flat wouldn't be empty. You know, we've had 3 burglaries in our block since you've been away.
Well, what about your own place?
Oh, I've nothing worth stealing.
Oh, Mrs. Morris, you're too good to us. I feel guilty for waking you up. So, well, Sally's not back from the trip yet.
She didn't say she'd be staying over.
What the hell? What do you think you're doing?
I'm sorry, Mr. Niven, but you are supposed to have made an arrangement.
Look, Divin, I was only calling home.
This is such an unsociable hour. I'm sure nobody would thank you for dragging them out of bed at 3:30 in the morning. Not even your wife.
Are you really worried about your breath?
What do you mean?
Well, it's an odd time to go burgling the kiosk for Palmer Violets.
These are for the airport manager. He wanted mints, but I couldn't find any.
Oh, pity. Not performing at your best right now, are you?
It's been a long day.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't trying to be personal. Come up to the bar and I'll buy a beer. That's as long as it's still on the house.
Excuse me. Yes, sir. Same again.
Sorry to have to tell you this, old son, but the lid's off.
The lid is... Oh, no.
Right, sir.
Have I been asleep for very long?
Long enough.
They'll have my job for this. They're looking for an excuse to get rid of me.
I'll not tell if you don't.
How much do you know?
Most of it. We've been in conference upstairs with the manager and your boss.
I was asleep down here all that time?
Yep.
I think I'll shoot myself. If I don't, Devint will do it for me.
Devint's got problems of his own. If the question arises, we'll straighten it out for you.
Well, at least I can get out of this enormous jacket. I think it was made for an elephant.
Wait a minute. Somebody coming.
Eh?
Damn! Look, get your coat on. Pour me a drink, quick. Start acting like a barman. Don't give anything away. If he asks for a drink, you tell him you're closing.
What's going on?
Just do it. I'll explain later.
Did I hear a voice? Well, thank God there's somebody alive in this place. I've been all over the bloody terminal and couldn't find so much as a cleaner.
Hello, McArdle.
Well, I never. That isn't pretty boy, Anthony. And propping up a bar as well, I see. I'll have a double scotch while you're buying.
I'm sorry, sir. We're closing.
Oh, just my luck. You can owe it to me, then.
What are you doing up here?
Got a phone call from Jackson at midnight, didn't I? Says he wants me back in time for a home assignment tomorrow. Although I suppose he means later this morning now. I hung around Skiffle for an hour and all they could say was a look at the fog. So I got a taxi and come out here.
What's the assignment?
How should I know? And what is it to you anyway?
Only asking.
Look, we must be bloody mad. All Holland sound asleep and here we are. Chasing around in a fog because Jackson decides he wants us back.
I didn't think you knew about the flights from Frozen.
I didn't, but unfortunately, Jackson did. And he insisted that I try it, if there was no joy at Skiffle, which there wasn't.
You've wasted a journey. Why didn't you just telephone?
Oh, I think I didn't try. Couldn't get through. And the people in the inquiry desk were playing it pretty dumb. And you'd think they'd been told to keep people away. I even had to give the driver one hell of a tip to bring me out here. At that scone on the bill for Jackson.
You'd never agree to that.
Oh, he'd better. I made the driver sign me a receipt. If he wants us back so badly, he can damn well face the consequences. You notice that when everybody else has called it a day, it's Jackson's men are still wandering around like lost souls looking for a graveyard.
It's easier than arguing with him.
Well, I've had enough of it. All the planes are down and all the boats are out, and this is the last place I'm trying.
And there's nothing doing here either.
And what are you hanging around here for?
Oh, Larry wanted to stay over and catch the first available flight.
Oh, I might have known you'd be with the boy Wonder. Well, I don't know why he's in such a hurry.
What do you mean?
Well, it's not as if he's got anywhere to go after today. Is it? Oh, I must say it's sad to see that boy coming down in the world. I take no pleasure in it at all.
Say that often enough, somebody might believe you.
Are you sure there's not going to be a flight tonight?
Yeah, I've seen the fog. Why so keen?
Keen? Oh, not me, friend. You know what Jackson's like with expenses. Wants chapter and verse or he won't sign the chitty. No. It's back to the lap of luxury for me. Promotion can wait.
Promotion? What promotion?
Oh, oh. I've let something slip, Papa. Still, I suppose it's common knowledge by now. Good news always travels fast. Mind you, I haven't had the memo yet, but that's just a formality.
Am I to assume you're talking about Larry Niven's assignment?
Well, since you mention it, and of course since the poor lad isn't here to be hurt by the reference, yes, I am. It really is tragic, the effect that icing business had on his nerve.
I'd be inclined to save my sympathy.
Oh, my, so callous at your age. It ill becomes you, laddie.
How are you getting back?
I've got my taxi waiting outside, haven't I? No point sending them away, and the paper's paying for his time, so who cares?
Well, if you don't mind, I'm going to get some sleep in the lounge.
Oh, all the comforts of home, eh? Not for me. I'm for central heating and a big breakfast. Oh, but while I think on, there's a piece of information your friend may find useful. I don't want to make anything of it, of course. You know, play on his nerves or anything.
Go on, then. What is it?
Well, my hotel's quite near the main police headquarters in Amsterdam. And all night, they've had a big security on there. And one of my sources told me they're holding Gunther Eisen on a transfer between prisons. Just a wee tit-bit.
Why should that be of special interest to Larry?
Oh, it'd be a shame if some of Eisen's mates were to spring him. And old Gunther should go and take exception to his image in the press after that sensational treatment Niven gave him. It might make him a wee bitty vengeful, eh?
Who suggested that? Another one of your sources?
Oh, no, sheer speculation, that one. Perhaps a bit more accurate than Niven's feature, though. I'll probably see you back at the train now.
Not if I see you first.
Why are we hiding behind this pillar?
We're waiting for a certain graveyard ghoul to crawl back into his urn. His name's McArdle.
Is this him? In the shadow.
I accept that you wish to hide from this man, but why do you insist that I conceal myself as well?
Because, with no offense intended, on the strength of your performance so far tonight, you'd probably lead him straight to me, wouldn't you?
No.
Can you see if he's reached the taxi yet?
Yes, he's just getting in. I think you are safe now.
Oh, good. Well, I hope Peter didn't let anything slip.
Hey, come in for that beer.
I must go to the control tower. I have to deliver these to the airport manager.
Palmer violets? I ask for mints and that idiot brings me Palmer violets.
Well, he couldn't find any mints, so he thought they were the next best thing. He didn't know they were for your stomach.
I don't think he knows what his head's for. As if I didn't have enough to worry about without an ulcer on top of everything.
That'll be your call to the minister.
Plug it into the main speaker.
Are you there, House?
Yes, Minister.
I believe you have some information for me.
We've had radio contact with the pilot of the aircraft. He seemed to be passing on a message that had been dictated to him. We put it on tape, so I'll play it for you now, Minister. Switch on, Paul.
Yeah, it's rolling.
This is the captain of flight KL-172 to Stockholm, speaking on behalf of the International People's Army. We are holding this aircraft, its crew, and 25 passengers. We will not hesitate to destroy property and personnel if our demands are not met in full. One of our members will make a statement of demands in 10 minutes' time. You have 10 minutes to have your representative listening. These demands are not subject to negotiation. Out.
The IPA. As we expected, it's Gunter Eisen's terrorist outfit. The Italians have had the same message from the hijackers in Rome.
That was taped, Minister, just before I put the call through to you. I'm keeping the line open, ready for the next message. Have we any idea what they're likely to ask for?
That's none of your business, Hals. All you have to do is to stall them until the special units arrive. And that could be any time now.
I've got to stall them. Aren't you going to speak to them?
No, let them think I'm on my way over and haven't arrived yet.
But why, Minister?
Because you're in a far better position to resist their arguments. You can stall through lack of authority, but I couldn't.
Well, at least tell me what they're liable to want so I can prepare some answers.
Better if you don't. Keep it sounding spontaneous. But they're most likely to demand money, Eisen's release, and a guaranteed safe passage with him on board.
And when they've asked, what then?
You hand everything over to the special unit chief. He's empowered to negotiate. Or at least to appear to.
That's the aircraft again.
This is the International People's Army on flight KL-172. Do you have a negotiator in attendance?
I am Josef Haltz, the airport manager. You'll have to speak with me for the moment.
That is not acceptable. Where is your government representative?
The minister is on his way from Amsterdam, but you can see how thick the fog is.
Write this down for his benefit. We have 2 submachine guns and sufficient plastic explosives to destroy this aircraft and those within it. If your negotiator is awkward or uncooperative, we will select 3 passengers at random and execute them, and repeat the process until he becomes reasonable. Our demands are as follows. 1, the unconditional release of Gunter Eisen and his escorting to this aircraft. 2, the sum of $1 million. We will take payment in an equivalent value of diamonds, so no excuses about the availability of currency. 3, this aircraft is to be refueled and allowed safe passage to a destination of our choice. On our safe completion of that journey, the aircraft will be allowed to return with all surviving passengers. These terms are not open to negotiation. We will reopen the frequency in 30 minutes.
Well, that's it, Minister. They've stopped broadcasting.
Right. I've recorded at this end, so we'll see what information we can get out of that.
Not very much, I should think.
You'd be surprised. That was Lotta Frommer, Eisen's girlfriend. There should be enough there to tell us who the others are as well. I'll get back to you, but keep me in touch.
A note from the duty controller, Josef. The special unit transport plane wants guidance to land on the auto route on the far side of the airport.
Oh, I suppose this is a military emergency. Can the controller cope?
They're putting the contingency tape on the computer. Shouldn't be any problem.
Well, I'm powerless. You might as well find a window and watch.
Wouldn't forget photographs. Not in this light, anyway.
I delivered the sweets. I think I am perhaps redeemed.
Oh, good for you. Come over here and have a look out the window.
How can I help you?
Can you spare us a few minutes? To give us a bit of background.
We'll credit you in the story.
Oh, I am free to speak, but please, no mention in your newspaper.
Don't worry, only we can't see much besides the lit windows on the aircraft. Can you tell us what's out there?
There is a ring of police vehicles round the aircraft at the end of the runway. Some marksmen, too, but mainly just the local officers.
Well, nobody from the army? No police from Amsterdam?
None. We are saving everything for the arrival of the special units.
Oh. When did you first hear that the hijackers were coming here?
About 6 o'clock last evening.
As early as that?
Apparently it was planned this way. Oh, but please do not quote me.
So what time did the hijack take place?
Late in the afternoon. I don't know exactly when. There was a landing at another airport, a refueling, and then a demand to be routed to Schiphol. The fog was a good excuse to divert them to Nordfriesland.
Where was the flight originally?
Were there likely to be any Britishers on board? When you're selling newspapers, it can make a difference.
Well, British Airways were playing down with engine trouble, so they had booked a block of seats. The plane was coming from Stockholm.
Stockholm?
No, what's wrong?
just had a horrible thought. Sally was going to Stockholm this morning, and she should have been back at the flat by now, but she isn't.
Oh, it could be a thousand.
Is there a passenger list I could have a look at?
Oh, it is possible. We have been sent one by telex.
Where will it be?
The control tower.
Right.
Do you hear something?
Outside, the other side of the lounge.
It's the special troops. They're landing on a bloody motorway.
4:15. Well, they're certainly not wasting any time, are they?
The road was designed for the purpose. See how far back from the edge the lights are.
Peter.
Yeah.
Go down and shoot off some material as they disembark.
Right.
Peter, yeah. Stay unobtrusive or they might get jumpy. I'll get up to Howells and see if I can grab hold of that list. And if I time it right, I'll arrive just as the unit commanders do.
Who's in charge around here?
Captain Windler?
What is it?
I'm head of airport security.
Robert Windler, acting head of the Special Operations Unit.
Acting head?
I'm on loan to the West German government. When these men are trained, I'll be on loan to somebody else. Have the British officers arrived yet?
We've just had a radio message. That's why I came down.
There's supposed to be radio silence. Anything you pick up, the hijackers will hear as well.
We know that, but the pilot didn't. He's one of those volunteers who flies kidneys around for transplants. I think his passengers have put him right.
How long?
They're just crossing the coastline. Can your men clear the road?
We're attaching pull lines to drag the planes over into your car park. We came in almost on a glide to keep the noise down. There's no sense in firing the engines up again.
If you'd like to come with me, I'll take you up to the control tower.
Have you got the things I asked for? The maps and the uniforms.
I'm sorry, but nobody's told us anything about that.
I might have known.
We've got airport layout maps anyway, but what uniforms did you want?
5 sets of overalls for the fuel tender and another 10 for the firefighting vehicles. More if you have them. And I assume that you have flame-resistant rescue suits.
We've got one of the best-equipped firefighting units in Europe.
We'll get by then.
If you'll follow me.
Sergeant, take over here.
Sir?
See me in 10 minutes in the cargo base for final briefing.
Sir.
If you'll come this way, please, Captain Windler.
How the hell am I supposed to land on a public highway in fog without radio, Lieutenant?
Oh, Lance Corporal Charteris and I'll cross our fingers for you. Weren't we, Charteris?
We certainly will, sir.
I don't honestly know, Seaman. Is he really a Lance Corporal?
No, I'm afraid so. It's a tragic story. I'd tell it you if we had more time.
And he doesn't really seem to fit the part, you see what I mean?
Oh, it's a source of continual embarrassment to his family. If it wasn't for the fact that his grandmother's will specifies that he does a 6-year stint without blemish, he'd be off, living the life of a rich idiot.
So why is he with you?
Because rich idiots learn to shoot. And that trainee rich idiot happens to be a first-class marksman.
What about you?
Me? Oh, I play with explosives. My old man was in demolition. I was 5 when I blew down my first wall. Mum was furious.
Why's that?
She was cooking dinner on the other side of it at the time.
Oh, we're nearly there. I think I'm going to be airsick.
Use your paper bag, Corporal.
They should see the lights any second now. They both keep your eyes open or we'll miss it in this fog. Incidentally, did the others have to land blind like this?
I doubt it. I can't say much because of official secrets. But if you had an in-flight computer, you could put it on a wavelength straight to air traffic control.
Oh, I see a light. No, a whole row of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Going down.
This way, Captain Windler.
Good morning, Captain. I'm Joseph Hulse.
Morning. You can relax now, Mr. Hulse. We'll take over.
Good.
I understand you've got a direct line to the minister.
That's right. The handset on the table.
Yes, I'll be using it. If you won't mind giving me a moment alone.
Well, I'll go and see it to the uniforms.
What uniforms?
You'd better attend the briefing in the cargo bays. I'll be going down as soon as I've finished here.
Captain Findler also formed the charts of the airport layout.
I'll see to those. Call me when you've finished, Captain.
I will.
Who is calling, please?
Captain Findler of the Israeli anti-terrorist squad.
You're through now.
Yes, Captain Windler.
I understand they've made their demand for Eisen.
Correct. The Italians have had an identical demand on the Rome hijack. They won't release until they've had a coded message from the other group to say that Eisen is secure.
Where's he now?
We've had him moved to the police headquarters in Amsterdam. They are holding him until they get word from us.
We'd be better with Eisen off the map.
I'm arranging it. When do you want the signal to reach the plane?
I'll let you know. Anything else for me?
There'll be another message from your aircraft in a few minutes. Oh, and we're getting you a psychologist.
A psychologist? What the hell for?
Protocol demands, I'm afraid. He's proving rather difficult to get hold of. He's not at home, and his wife isn't very pleased.
Oh, don't waste your time. We'll have to move soon, or it'll be light in an hour.
Has the British unit arrived yet?
The aircraft has just landed a couple of minutes ago, but I've not seen them. They'll be at the briefing. Now, listen, the messages you've had from the aircraft so far, any indication who we've got?
We've definitely got Lotta Frommer, Eisen's girlfriend. As for the other two, we think that one of them is likely to be Hans Krandl.
Ah.
Krandl's father is a diamond merchant. Krandl used to work for him, so he'd be able to put a rough price on the stones.
And the other?
We're not so sure. With the explosives, it could be one of two people.
Just a minute. I think there's another call coming through. His house out there.
I've got the charts you asked.
Yeah, leave those. I want you to take this call from the aircraft.
Me? But I thought...
I don't want them to think that the situation has changed in any way. Now, don't worry. I'll prompt you.
This is the International People's Army on KL-172. Is your negotiator now in attendance?
I'm afraid not. The fog. The minister is driving down.
There has been time enough to walk from Amsterdam. We don't believe you are being completely honest with us. We have selected three passengers for immediate execution in the event of any suspicious moves on your part. They will speak to you now. Remember their voices well. Don't have their deaths on your conscience.
Quiet, you must not touch me.
My name is Ugo Strickel. I am married with two children, and they are all here with me on the plane. We were in Stockholm on holiday. They say they are going to shoot me if you don't do as they say. I'm not so afraid for myself, but
that's enough.
What?
You said enough. Next.
I'm André Nours. I'm a traveler, and I'm on business. I have two sons and a weak heart. Please give them what they want.
Are you listening well? Remember their names. Remember their families. Don't play games with their lives. One more to go.
My name is Sally Jane Niven. Mrs. Niven, that is. I'm working... was working for Trans-Europe Publishers of London. I haven't any children. But my husband is changing his job so that we can spend more time...
Who the hell are you?
Quiet! This is important.
There has been enough delay. Arrange the release of Gunther Eisen immediately, or I will shoot these people now. Out.
Gunther Eisen?
Who's this?
Look, that's my wife they're holding as a hostage on that plane.
Mr. Niven is a newspaper reporter.
You're letting a newspaper reporter wander around a top-secret anti-terrorist operation? How did he get in here?
Mr. Niven and his partner were in the airport when the whole thing broke. There was no way we could keep it hidden.
You mean there are two of them? Where's the other one?
He's outside photographing the setup of your operation. But listen to me. I've got something to tell
we
you.
We had to do a deal with Mr. Niven. We bought his silence for an exclusive.
Never bargain with newspaper men. They respect their deal like a hairdresser respects your ears. There will be no deal, Mr. Niven, nor will there be any photographs. Now, you and your partner will remain in this building until the operation is over.
Hold on, I might be able to help
you. I doubt it.
Look, I know these people. I know Gunther Eisen.
Wait a minute. Your name is familiar. Larry Niven, the Binnenhof CEO.
Yes, yes, that was me.
Your report does you a lot of credit. Now, listen, you can attend the briefing, but no photographs, and I want to check anything you write.
Agreed.
Tolerate an open line. Yes, I've been speaking to Windler. He proposes Operation Blitzkrieg, and I've sanctioned it. I also want to call on the use of Compound 29, because if this one fails, there are bound to be other attempts. Yes, I've thought of the publicity, but Eisen's a big enough fish to warrant it. No, Windler wants to move his men in before daylight. I tend to agree with him, but after a long period of bargaining, a surprise attack will be difficult, and we may lose hostages in the meantime. Well, I've tried to follow the standing orders with the psychologist, but we're having trouble pinning him down. His wife doesn't know where he is, but we've got his address book. I've got two policemen working their way through it.
Come on, come on.
Perhaps nobody's home.
There is. I can see lights on the other side of this little wide-angle viewer.
You'll feel a proper bloody fool if she looks through the other side and sees you squinting back.
I feel a proper bloody fool anyway.
I bet you 5 guilders this one's up long enough.
You already owe me 10 from the last two.
Oh, make it double or quits then.
If you like. It's your money.
What's going on?
Is there a Dr. Wolfgang Friedrich here?
Who wants to know?
Police.
Wolfgang, police for you.
Why don't you tell the whole damn neighborhood? What's the meaning of this?
Good morning, Dr. Friedrich. Mm. I've been asked to tell you that you're needed in the flea market.
Needed? Oh, yes. Yes, I see.
At this time of night.
I'll be right with you. Please, give me a few minutes to dress.
Oh, Wolfgang, we really have to go.
Yes, yes,
yes. We'll wait here. That's 20 guilders you owe me.
What do you mean? She had fair hair.
With black roots.
The briefing starts now, such as it is. You should all be as familiar with the plan as I am. The gentleman on my left is Lieutenant Lennon of the British Army. He and his partner will take care of the explosive side of the operation, but I'll ask him to tell you about that in a moment. Now, you're all dressed for the part. We'll go over it one last time, and then we move. Fortunately, the hijackers have already demanded refueling as one of their conditions, so we don't have to suggest it. The five men in oil company rig will take the tender out to the aircraft and go through the motions of refueling, but instead of aviation spirit, they'll fill the wing tanks with carbon dioxide foam from the cylinders we've slung under the oil truck. That's when Lieutenant Lennon will move in.
It's reasonable to expect that the hijackers are going to keep strict count of the number of men on the fuel truck. So while your men are busy under the port wing, I'll slip in on the starboard side and attach my charges to the main passenger door. I'll appreciate all the time you can give me, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And if I'm more than an inch or so out, the door will buckle and not spring open.
When Lieutenant Lennon has cleared, the truck will be moved over to the starboard wing, and this will be the signal for the fire tenders to stand by. There will then appear to be an accident. Fuel will be spilled and ignited, and the whole side of the aircraft will be lit by a sheet of flame. But stay clear of those wing tanks. The residual fuel may be damped down by the CO2, but it's still volatile. Now, the airport manager will warn the hijackers of the danger and urge them to move everybody towards the back of the aircraft, and during the confusion that this will cause, the fire tenders with the flamethrowers move in and bathe the aircraft windows with fire.
Now, that'll be the signal for my last corporal. He'll be outside the cordon of police vehicles with a high-powered rifle carrying an infrared image intensifier on the telescopic sight. Keep your flames away from the main door or you'll jinx the heat sensor on the sight. He'll only have one shot with an explosive bullet to trigger the charges on the door and blow it off. Any problem there, Charteris?
Piece of cake, sir. I'm using a tripod so I can line up the crosshairs early and lock off. Then if the fire does confuse the intensifier, I can shoot blind.
When the door goes, move the ladders up through the flames and put a sheet of fire through the open doorway. The marksmen in the bulletproof jackets and the fireproof suits will run through that and offer rescue, in the course of which they will take the aircraft and disarm the terrorists. Any questions?
Yes, sir. Pardon my ignorance, sir. Why don't you use gas when you're on the aircraft? I mean, knock everybody out and sort them all out later.
Yes, Charteris, that's a question I'm asked on every training program. It's a question of dosage. If we use a gas, we want it to have an instantaneous effect. No time to think, and so no time to shoot as the subject goes under. Now, if we formulated a concentration of gas large enough to drop an adult at the first breath, that same dose would kill most of the children in the vicinity and probably any adult with a weak heart.
Sorry, I asked.
That's all right. Any more? No. Right then. It's now 0445 hours. Assemble on the tarmac and we'll move in.
Well, there's a tidy little plan for you.
Yeah, all that firelight, not a single photograph.
Well, can't you even sneak a couple?
No, they're holding on to me equipment.
Well, don't cough then.
Mr. Niebuhr.
No, it's De Vint.
I am sorry to hear that your wife is amongst the hostages.
What? Yes. Yeah, that's right.
You must be very concerned.
Yes, I suppose I am.
That is a callous. Of course you're concerned.
No, I was thinking about afterwards, sir. Neurosis would be running at fever pitch for months.
Look, we live close to danger. We accept it. We even get excitement from it. But I don't kid myself, it's normal. Can't you appreciate the way somebody... well, ordinary might react?
No. No, I don't think I can.
Well, then you're overdue for the city desk. You've been doing this too long.
But the nearer it gets, the worse it looks. Look, I've got to make this one so big. Make the Cardinal look like the 4th Division. I'm going to watch it from the tarmac.
Steen says I must stay with you both. He says it will keep me out of trouble.
Oh. Well, no guarantees on that front. Well, are you coming down?
Will you want me to collect you in the morning, Mr. McArdle?
If I do, driver, I'll have the hotel telephone. But it won't be till late.
Oh, it's past 5 already.
Mr. McArdle?
Eh? What are you doing here, De Groot?
Not so loud, please. This is business. I've just been into the hotel to leave a message for you. They said you'd checked out.
Yeah, well, I'm about to check back in. What have you got for me?
Could be something quite important.
Look, I'm too tired to start haggling with you. If the information's any good, I'll see you get your usual kickback.
This may be worth more.
I'll decide that. Spill it.
We had an alert through police communications no more than 10 minutes ago. Gunther Eisen is being moved in a hurry.
Eisen? Where to?
I couldn't find out.
I hope you're sure about this.
It's good stuff. Highest level.
It had better be. Driver? Take me to the airport.
But we just came from
there. And we're just going back. Gunther Eisen's on the move. Niven's at the airport. And I smell something. Move!
Get the refueling done as quickly as possible. Fräulein Frohmann, I promise you we're getting things moving over the other things you asked for.
We are getting impatient. I hope you're not thinking of trying anything.
You know I'm not. You've seen the number of men I've got available.
We wanted to land at Schiphol. What's the flying time to Vienna?
Just a minute. I'll get the information. Do you have to be in here, Corporal?
Can you hear me?
No, I've stopped transmitting.
Well, the answer is yes, I'm afraid, Oakwood. The only place high enough for me to get a clear shot at the charges without anyone getting in the way. Not that they'd stop the bullet, but it would be rather sad for the relevant personnel.
I'm nervous enough as it is.
Soon be over. Oh, they're pumping the foam into the starboard wing now. Have you got your little piece ready to say?
Yes. Is it really true? Eisen's hanged himself in his cell?
It doesn't matter if it's true, as long as it has the desired effect. Hmm? Stand by. Fires have started.
KLM 172, I have answered to your query. Distance to Vienna, 600 miles. Flying time, 95 minutes approximately, without tailwind. Hold on. I've got a message for you from Telex.
I hope for your sake it's about Gunther.
It is, but... I'm afraid it's not good news.
What do you mean?
It appears he committed suicide in his cell this morning.
You say... what? Say that again.
KLM 172, it seems you have a fuel spillage fire. Stand by.
Repeat what you said. I didn't hear you properly.
You have a fuel spillage...
tell me about Gunther.
Tenders are on the way.
Tell me what you said about Gunther.
Get everybody to the back of the plane. Your wing tanks are going to explode.
Bullseye!
Switch the tape recorder off, Mr. Niven.
Last.
I thought you were supposed to be watching the door, Peter.
I did. I watched it open and he walked through it.
Is that true? Gunther Eisen's dead.
You heard it? It's true.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh, that's very convenient, Mr. Bindler.
Very.
For you, I mean.
For all of us, Mr. Niven. What are you trying to suggest?
Oh, me? Nothing. But others might be less credulous.
There has been no foul play. The suicide is genuine. The cell has been sealed and awaits the arrival of selected international observers.
Yes, but selected by whom?
By any human rights organization you care to name. By independent pathologists without a vested interest.
By the press?
May I suggest you put your case to the United Nations and the Dutch government?
Yeah, I can imagine the reception I'll get.
What do you want, a cover-up? I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there's nothing to hide.
But you agree, it is convenient.
I'd be a fool to disagree. That doesn't mean I made it happen.
It removes a major motivation for further hijacks from the Eisen gang.
Those remaining. The ambulances have removed 2 bodies. There will be no point in bartering for the freedom of Lottie Frommer.
You see what I mean?
I see that there's no point in your zealous rumor-mongering, Mr. Niven. Wait for the evidence.
It's a case of world satisfaction.
It's a case of world security.
So cynical, Mr. Niven. I would hate to be like you. Well, no doubt you will wish to find a telephone.
So the ban's lifted?
Yes, as of now. But be careful what you attempt to print, Mr. Niven. Don't be rash. It may rebound.
Don't worry about me, Mr. Vindler.
Captain Vindler, Dr. Friedrich, the psychologist, is here. Shall I send him home?
No, we still need him. I want him to take a look at the passengers as they come off the plane.
Dr. Friedrich? I was thinking. Who is in charge here?
I'm Vindler. It's me you want.
But I understand the crisis point is past. Am I still needed?
I'd like you to give some special attention to the three hostages that were selected to die first. This gentleman is Mr. Niven. His wife is one of them.
Oh, that's good. It will help if you are there to meet her.
Yeah, of course. Well, I have a couple of phone calls to make first. Excuse me, please.
Hey, look, wait a minute. Wait for me.
Oh, very strange.
Newspaper reporters. A whole new area of study for you, Doctor. Mm-hmm.
Well, another time, perhaps. Now, where am I to be set up?
My men are bringing the passengers across to the main lounge. My sergeant will look after you. If you don't mind, now, I have to talk to my superior.
Yes, sir.
Who is calling, please?
Captain Vindler. Code word Blitzkrieg.
Connecting you now. Good morning, Captain, and congratulations. I heard of your success.
Thank you.
I'm pleased to say they had an equally successful operation in Rome. Did you have any special problems?
The plan was fine. We stormed the aircraft 10 minutes before the hour. Lotte Fromme and one unidentified terrorist quite badly wounded.
Badly wounded?
We're saying that they were killed.
Uh-huh.
The hostages won't be able to say otherwise. What about Eisen?
I'll worry about Eisen. Why, is something bothering you?
It's Niven, the reporter. One who was Eisen's hostage in the Binnenhof siege. He's dubious about the suicide.
Many people will be dubious until we can demonstrate otherwise.
But many people aren't Niven. He's quite emphatic.
Oh. Then I'll put the word through the appropriate channels. If it comes to the ultimate, he'll have to be persuaded, won't he?
End paragraph. Now get that copy through to Jackson and never mind where he's sleeping. That should do for the front page of the final this morning, and I'll follow it up with an in-depth for the inside pages tomorrow. Oh, and we'll need some picture research done on Eisen and the others. Tell Jackson I'll be in the office by this afternoon, okay? Bye now.
Good work, Larry. Now, you'd better rush. Sally's off the plane.
Oh, no. More immediate consideration. Look what the hearse has dropped on us.
You lousy pair of maggots! You just let me drive away from all this.
A correction. He let you drive away. I hit him what?
So much for bloody professional camaraderie.
This is First Division stuff, McCardle. The Eisen gang are out of your league.
The Eisen gang? I might have known. Well, I still got in ahead of you.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you did.
Oh, yes, I did. On the way back here, I stopped and telephoned through a report that Gunther Eisen was carried struggling out of the main police headquarters at 5 o'clock this morning.
5 o'clock? How accurate is that timing?
Spot on, of course.
Right. See to Sally for me, will you, Peter?
Tell Larry! I'll be back as soon as I can.
What the hell's going on now?
You saw Eisen at 5 o'clock, alive and kicking.
Correct.
10 minutes before that, we heard he'd killed himself in his cell.
What? And Niven's taken my bloody taxi.
And how are you feeling now, Mrs. Niven?
Is Larry here yet?
Very soon. It seems he was forced to make a telephone call.
Oh, yes. He'll be calling Mrs. Morris. She lives in the flat next door. She used to help me to cheer up when Larry was away.
She used to?
Didn't you know? Larry's given up traveling, and I've given up my job. It's so that we can have more time together.
Larry, he works on a newspaper, doesn't he?
Yes. They used to make him take all sorts of risks. He'd be away for weeks on end. He said he liked it. But it's all changed now. He's going to work in the office. It's promotion.
Well. You both have something to look forward to, then.
I suppose I have. But Larry isn't so sure. You see, he always sets his sights further than he can reach. And when he's pushed himself nearer to the target, he moves it on again. There's no room for me in a scheme like that.
Mm.
And you think that all of this is going to change?
No. It's not going to work, is it? It's his world that's winning, after all. I mean, look what happened to me today.
You can tell me all about it if you want to.
He was hurt once. He was shot in the leg and kept as a hostage in some government building in The Hague. I flew out to see him. He wouldn't tell me where until it was all over. And all he seemed to care about was dictating the story into a machine and getting it off to his editor.
And you somehow don't feel that you can compete?
He said afterwards, or he said it a couple of times, that the 4 days he spent at gunpoint were the most intense experience of his life.
That's understandable.
Yes, but where does it leave me? Where does it leave me?
Have you thought of a separation?
No, not seriously. Besides which, I'd look pretty silly citing a Dutch terrorist as a correspondent, wouldn't I?
Now, about your journey to Stockholm.
Oh, I feel very cold. Isn't Larry here yet?
This is very irregular, Mr. Niven. If it wasn't for the fact that I had had instructions from above...
What do you mean, instructions from above? Who knows I'm here?
That is hardly your concern. This cell has been sealed and is supposed to remain so until the United Nations delegation arrives.
Is Ison's body still in there?
Nothing has been moved. It is lying on the bed.
How did he manage to hang himself on a bed?
Where he was placed as the warders tried to bring him round.
You're going to a lot of trouble unsealing the cell just for me.
I've no intention of unsealing the cell for you or for anybody else.
Why have you brought me here, then?
My instructions are to allow you to look through the inspection hole. Nothing more. You are to satisfy yourself that there has been no foul play and report accordingly.
Rather depends on what I see, doesn't it? All right, open her up, then.
What?
The peephole, so I can have a look.
There you are.
Well, it's high enough, isn't it? Don't you have any short orders? I can see now. Shirt sleeves knotted round the window bars and down on the bed.
Are you satisfied?
Oh, nice, nice. Very nice.
Beg your pardon?
I mean, it's a nice try. I give you 4 out of 10 for effort.
What do you mean?
Well, you haven't quite turned the body enough. I can still see the face. It isn't Ison.
Of course it's going
to
Ison.
I don't know who you got in that mock-up, but it isn't him. It's close enough to fool most people, I grant you. But I spent 4 days only inches from that face. I know it better than my own. Well, now it's out. Your so-called suicide is a fake.
I wouldn't say out, exactly.
Vindler? Where the hell do you come from? Look, you can't suppress this. A flagrant violation of a basic human liberty.
Wait until you know the full facts before you make snap judgments, Mr. Niven. The minister considers this important enough to see you himself. He'll send a car this afternoon. Huh? Until then, I suggest you get some sleep.
I'm sorry, but it just so happens that I booked out of my hotel and I don't feel particularly tired just now.
There's a room booked for you here. I'll have to insist that you use it.
In this way, please, Mr. Niven.
Sully, at the airport. I haven't even seen her yet.
Yes, your concern's rather belated, Mr. Niven. I'm afraid you should have thought of that before.
Please ride carefully. I think Mr. Niven is trying to sleep.
I'm sorry, Minister.
Now, don't worry about me. I'm wide awake.
Good. I'll be needing your full attention.
For what? A brainwashing session?
For a demonstration, Mr. Niven, that is all. Now, are you locked in? Handcuffed? Guarded?
Where are you taking me?
We're approaching Brussels. I'm afraid I can't be any more specific than that.
And what kind of demonstration did you have in mind?
I want you to know what lengths we are prepared to go to in order to assure your cooperation in reporting the death of Gunter Ison. If you could be bought, we would buy you. If you could be intimidated, we would harass you. But as you possess the awkward quality of integrity, we have no choice but to try to win you over.
So you won't be sticking to the suicide story?
To all intents and purposes, yes. The world will be dubious, but we will overwhelm all with irrefutable evidence of our honest actions. And you will help.
Yeah, well, you can forget that for a start.
Now, look, Mr. Niven, over a score of people narrowly escaped with their lives this morning, your wife amongst them. They were saved by the expertise of a small group of professionals in violence. We know to our cost that the days of bargaining with terrorists are over. As we become more sophisticated in our tactics, they become more sensitive to them. They can see all our angles, and their only reply is give or we destroy. These are very intelligent young people. They're educated, and in many cases come from privileged backgrounds. And the loyalty within their group is very strong. All right, so they call themselves the International People's Army. But the hard truth is that the people reject them just as much as the authorities do. It's their little group against the rest of the world. And as long as we hold even one of their leaders, it's a bait to the rest of them.
Well, so what do you do? Eliminate them in the name of expediency? Become the tyranny they have nightmares about?
That is one obvious way, but crude and rather unenlightened. We believe we have found a more humane solution. Turn left through the iron gates, please, driver.
Yes, sir.
This is it? You brought me to see a monastery.
I think you will find that this particular monastery is not in any of the tourist guides.
Ooh.
Yes, the crypt is quite magnificent. 13th century, I think, maybe even earlier.
Have you brought me here for a guided tour and afternoon prayers?
Oh, yes, rather atmospheric, isn't it? They change the tapes every 3 days.
Tapes? Oh, holy music.
The crypt was quite a size, but we extended it for our purposes. There are 3 levels to get through before we reach compound 29.
Oh, that's nice. And what's compound 29 when we get there?
Mr. Niven, there's continuous radar scan and a weight-sensitive floor. So don't go wandering off, or the computer will seal off the section and summon up the hounds of hell.
Oh. Well, in that case, I won't go wandering off, will I?
This way, please.
Good afternoon, sir. Authorization, please.
Oh, this is Lawrence Niven, the British journalist. He's here on my authority.
And your authorization, sir?
Hand and voice print.
One moment, please. That is in order, sir, if you would like to take these cards and present them on level 2.
Impressive.
Thank you.
So what is all this?
I told you. It's compound number 29 in the Chandler series of security compounds. So named after Michael Chandler, an American research student who put forward the basic idea in a thesis 5 years ago. You won't find a copy of that thesis anywhere, but Chandler was quite happy with the professorship we gave him.
And how many compounds are there?
Well, that, I'm afraid, is well beyond your brief. Into the lift, please.
All right. So you convince me. This is an ultra-secret operation. But why are you showing me? And why give me so many details?
I'll tell you a little, and you might guess the rest and start shouting about it. If we tell you everything, then your silence becomes a matter of self-preservation, doesn't it? Our library.
Ah. I wonder if they got my book.
Well, we select the reading material very carefully. Look over there, Niven. The table by the wall. You can have 5 minutes.
Mind if I sit down?
Please help yourself.
So.
Larry! What are you doing here?
Just passing through, I hope. How are you, Gunter?
Confused. I'm very depressed. How's the wound in your leg?
Oh, it's healed. It took me a while to get the use of the muscle back, but it's fine now. Are your wounds?
Painful. I've had 3 hours of solid indoctrination on the computer security in this place. Then they showed me to my room. It's a nice room.
Yeah, they're telling the world you're dead.
I might as well be.
The idea was to take you off the ransom market.
Oh, I know. As long as their international observers believe it to be for the best, they'll support the suicide story. After all, isn't it a humane solution to a dangerous problem?
Well, it's just one prison swap for another, isn't
it? No, it's the truth swap for a lie. You should care about that more than anybody.
It's not really in my hands.
Of course not. Forgive me for thinking you might care.
Of course I damn well care. But my wife was on the aircraft that your Lotta tried to blast to pieces this morning.
But she has survived.
My Lotta's dead, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, how can we tell?
What?
Perhaps she's as well as you are. In another compound like this one.
Well, then she's dead to me. The conditions are just technicalities. Is this our brave new world, Larry? Where the truth is bent according to the whim of authority?
Well, what's this hallowed truth business all of a sudden? You know my job. You know what I do. The truth is a simple matter of what people want to believe. Well, it can be bent for profit. It can be, well, turned inside out as it crosses from one side of the room to the other. This isn't storybook city, Gunter. You're not Siegfried taking on the dragons of industrial society. It's a hard 20th century world out there. You should know. You helped to make it that way.
What will you do now? Go back to your 20th century jungle? Will you be happy knowing that dead men live on under the ground?
No, I won't be happy. But I'll accept it. And you are alive.
Your friend is waving. I think it's time for you to go.
Are you going to support their story?
What? Do I have any choice?
No. Look after yourself, Larry.
Yeah, and you, Gunter. Is there anything I can get you?
Yes. Yes, there is something. Find out about Lotta for me. Find out if she really died or if she's locked away like me. There was a phrase you used in your article about our group. Wednesday's children.
Yeah.
Use that again if she is alive. I will see it. Promise me, Larry.
I promise. Well, ta-ra, Gunter.
Will you use it?
Use what?
That phrase, Wednesday's children.
You were listening?
I eavesdropped a little, yes. What does it mean?
A Wednesday's child is a child of woe. An old saying. Silly, really.
And will you use it?
Well, I don't know. Is Lotta Frummer alive?
Include it in your article.
Well, you're saying she is alive.
I'm saying nothing of the kind, but use it anyway. Nobody deserves such total despair. And he'll never know the difference.
You know, it's damn lucky I'm a realist. Anybody with a romantic idea about truth and freedom would go berserk if they met you.
It's damned lucky that I'm a realist as well, Mr. Niven. At least I try to preserve some fraction of your cherished ideals. As long as you comply with us, you'll be helping in that.
And if I don't?
Then you'll have all the time in the world to discuss the finer points of your philosophy with Ison in there.
That sounds like a threat.
I should hope it does. That's what it's meant to be.
So for the rest of my career, I'm to be dogged and censored by your invisible bloodhounds?
Now, that raises another point. I hope you finally come to a sensible decision about your future.
Meaning?
We did some checking this morning, and it seems you've been offered a career opportunity you really shouldn't miss.
So that's it. Not only are you killing my story, you're telling me I have to get buried on that city desk.
It's a free world, Mr. Niven. You don't have to do anything. But remember that any action you do take will have its inevitable consequences. Surely you can't demand any more than that.
Well, I don't know. You dress up a lie with all the philosophy you like, it's still a lie.
Lies are the oil in the complex machinery of the world we live in, Mr. Niven. We can't do without them. And I think you're mature enough to recognize that. Frequently, they're the most direct route to the truth.
Now, wait a minute.
All that I'm saying is that our fabrications can be more meaningful than your facts. Do you feel that the world has ever been changed by your kind of journalism?
Yeah, of course it has. Every day.
Oh, I know there's a lost dog which is offered 10,000 homes by 2 in the afternoon. Or some unfortunate politician, perhaps like myself.
who was embarrassed into resignation by the uncovering of some totally irrelevant facet of his private behavior. But what I'm asking you is, can you honestly claim that at some time in your career, even once, you have managed to bring out or highlight some fundamental condition of the creature that is man?
I'm a reporter, not some kind of philosopher.
Name me half a dozen men who have added significantly to our thought and understanding throughout history, and I'll guarantee that three or more would have been professional liars. Literature, Mr. Niven, acceptable lies to tell unacceptable truths. Whilst the facts just lie there on the page, cold, twisted, and devoid of true meaning.
One name comes to mind. Ever heard of Machiavelli?
Another realist to join our little band.
Well, I don't think you can count me in.
Consider for a moment. All other pressures apart. Suppose you get your story on the streets tomorrow morning. Suppose that the outcry was such that the Chandler series was closed down and all our terrorists were returned to their prisons to be demanded and ransomed and blackmailed for. Tell me, how would you have helped anybody?
I don't pretend that it's easy, but people deserve to be sure that their fundamental freedoms are being protected.
As they are.
Yeah, but they don't know it. They can't challenge you when you go wrong.
Then I'd have to be sure I don't go wrong, won't I?
Well, that's arrogant paternalism, and you know it.
Of course it is, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What do you mean?
I mean that if you do as I suggest, you'll be taking a step towards joining me. Take the editorial power you're being offered, if you're so convinced of your own integrity. Become one of the molders and the shapers of our world. Instead of making waves on this surface.
And what if my integrity turns out to be faulty?
That's a risk you must take, Larry. And remember, you built this place as much as anybody did. You're free to make your own decision.
Free.
ALM, announce the departure of flight 171 to Stockholm.
Larry! Larry, over here! Did you get the ticket sorted?
No problem, got your message. Where have you been since yesterday?
Oh, a little trip into the country.
Look,
I'm sorry, I can't tell you anymore.
What do you mean?
You're honestly better off if I don't tell you. I'd be queuing up for soup in the Salvation Army kitchens faster than you can say D-notice.
Like that, is it?
Yeah, it's worse. One hell of a story, and I daren't tell it. Oh, by the way, watch out for McArdle. I shared a taxi with him. I'm damned if I want to sit with him until his plane goes. He'll only start grinding drinks.
Just a minute. I don't think I'm hearing properly. Did you just say you shared a taxi out with McArdle?
Yeah, that's right.
You feeling all right?
Well, I say, it was a calculated move, old son.
Oh, come on, then. What's behind it?
Nothing at all. Well, I'll admit to a little bit of political manoeuvring.
Oh, knowing you, I suppose that means he'll be found floating face down in the canal tomorrow morning.
No. No, I don't think I'll come to that.
Wait a minute, Larry. What's going on?
I told you, I can't say. It's better this way.
Why not let me be the judge of that?
Look, McArdle claims that Eisen is still alive. Well, I didn't deny it. What's more, I accidentally let slip certain information which is bound to be discredited. If he tries to print it, it'll finish him for good.
Finish him how?
But for God's sake, Peter, don't talk about McArdle's story to anybody. Or you'll be going the same way.
I don't much like this.
Well, I'm not exactly over the moon about it myself either. Look, I'm not free to... It's not my decision.
Whose then?
Look, Gavin, you just got to trust me.
I'm not sure I can now.
Look, just believe my story. Wednesday's child. The life... death of Gunther Eisen.
McArdle was right, wasn't he? You've been cooking something up, haven't you? You're going to write some fictional account with the authorities' approval and expect me to go along with it. Well, I won't.
What do you mean?
I won't go along with it. I mean, who the hell are you to tell me what I should or shouldn't believe? You're supposed to be a reporter, Larry, not a censor or an establishment PR man. I thought you were a good journalist and I respected you for it. Well, obviously, I was wrong.
You don't understand.
You won't give me the chance to.
But believe me, I can't.
Believe you? That's what thousands will be doing tomorrow morning when they read your feature. Oh, well, I don't suppose a picture taker with a lousy pro star deserves anything more than them, does he?
Where are you going?
I'm going to change my seat if it's not too late.
Peter! Peter!
Damn, what's the use?
Oh, Mr. Niven! Mr. Niven!
Oh, hello, Devent.
I'm glad I caught you before you left. Your wife left you a message yesterday afternoon. I think she was disappointed that you were not there.
Yeah, well, I think she'll get over it. I'll talk to her at the flat when I get home tonight. Any problems mopping up?
Oh, very few. The main runway's closed to the big jets until we repair the surface after the fire, but the smaller aircraft can still use it. Is there something wrong?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in a way. Well, it looks like I won't be doing any explaining tonight after all. Sally's going up to her sister's for a few weeks. She doesn't want me back in the flat when she gets back.
I'm sorry.
No, I suppose I asked for it. I think I can patch it up, though. I'm leaving all this, moving to the London office. It's what she wants.
You take this office job for your wife's sake?
Yeah, it's for my wife's sake.
I must say goodbye now. You're a good man, Mr. Niven.
Yeah.
Please
make your way to gate
number 11.
One of the best.
This is the last call for British Airways flight BA419 to London.
Patrick Moore played Larry Niven in The Humane Solution by Steve Gallagher. Peter Pacey played the part of Peter Anthony, and Malcolm Hayes was the minister. Robert Vindler was played by Anthony Hall, Joseph Hulse, John Gabriel, Devint, Gregory DePaulne, Steen, Adrian Egan, McArdle, Michael Deacon, Sally Niven, Josie Kidd, Captain Lennon, Joe Dunlop, Lance Corporal Charteris, Peter Wickham, Friedrich, Manning Wilson, Gunter Eisen, John Bull, and Lotta, Petra Davis. Other parts were played by Bill Monks, Eva Stewart, Tim Bentinck, and members of the cast. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.